Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
By the way, you don't have to just submit questions to podcast@nikki.lemo. You can have impression requests. We will do that.
We can do a lot of impressions.
Happy to do it.
Between the two of us.
Happy to do it.
We kill it. We crush it.
We can't wait.
We haven't even been able to display our skills.
Nikki can do a great impression. She's never admitted this, but she can do the Hawaiian punch guy. Go.
Hey!
So good. I don't know how she does it, dude. It's so fucking good.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Lemo, and this is Who Are You Today?
Ace, for my pool hall days.
So, are you playing pool again, or?
Online.
You're playing pool online.
That's what I said.
Just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
That's what I said.
All right, I'm not going to delve any further into
Guess
that
what
one.
What my username is?
I don't want to.
Pool Junkie?
I didn't ask. Anyway, we decided to take some more of your fabulous questions from podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. And if you have a question, you could always feel free to send it. I'm not done.
But if you're on a
page. No, I'm not done.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
True.
I'm not done.
I just wanted to.
Our first question is from a Patreon member, and if you're part of our Patreon, you get first dibs at the questions that we address here on the show. And if you'd like to join us, we're at patreon.com/sticky. That's patreon.com/STIKKI.
Where we also have a show called
Crypto Corner. We have live streams every month, and we have Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, which is a bonus episode of Shit They Don't Tell You, where we talk about intimate things that we're just now discovering about life. So, anything else?
No, you can chill now. If that's possible.
All right, pool house junkie. Our first question is from Florian Fahrenberger. Like I said, a longtime patron.
We love Florian.
One of the OGs from when we first started 2 years ago.
Yep.
All right, so the title is Patreon Question Incoming. Hey, Cryptic Queen and Broken Icicle or something. You don't have to keep me anonymous. And since you mentioned that patrons don't make use of the answer questions first perk, I'm shooting for it. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
This is actually the first time has been utilized in 2 years.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Everyone just skips over that part,
yeah.
Huh?
Wow. Hey, it's a perk.
Yeah.
Use it.
How about that?
Okay. I really love the vibes, big moods, and smiles that you carry into the world. Thank you so much for being awesome and entertaining us and making us smile constantly, and of course for creating and nurturing.
I heard a competitor. Please edit that out, Mark.
What?
He said big moods.
Okay, that's not. He wasn't talking.
That.
Okay. And of course for creating and nurturing such a positive and blossoming community. It really feels like this is an extended family with Nikki being my cool little sister. Aw, that's awesome. I do actually feel that way about our Patreon.
Oh, for sure. But what
about me?
It
feels like a family. He called you an icicle. Now, question for my big brother.
Here we go.
Wait. No, sorry. I read that wrong. Now for my question. My big brother, maybe I should keep him anonymous. Let's call him Biggest Dickus. Has recently been going through a midlife crisis. He started losing his hair and is now constantly pretending to be knowledgeable about crypto and stuff, only so he can keep talking to the young folks who look up to him. Do you have any advice how I could put him in his place and get him to snap back to reality? I really worry about him, but I don't think he'd listen to me, and he doesn't believe a word definition I'm making up. But I know he really digs Nikki, so maybe you can set him straight. Yes, I did just spend my privilege question on a silly roast. See, Steve, I told you I would get you back. Love you guys. See you around, Florian.
Hey, Florian, what you don't understand is that I have the most intimate and deep relationship with a member of my team. His name is Mark. He edits these videos. This will never see the light of day. So you're wrecked. You actually got wrecked.
You're wrecked.
This is edited out. It's
Mark,
cut.
Mark, leave it in.
So Mark's taking that out. That's what happens. See, I have fomented over many years on YouTube deep relationships, friendships with all these people that I work with. And so, yeah.
So you go, you're getting wrecked. He won't even know he's wrecked. Should we leave in the part about him being wrecked?
Yeah, you can leave that part in. Okay. Yeah. So he knows he got wrecked.
So Mark, leave that part in, I guess. Leave it all in. All right. Next question.
A fun roast, by the way.
Thank you, Florian, by the way.
We love you.
We've mentioned Florian a few times, especially during the alien episodes.
Yeah. Because we know he's like, he's laughing his ass off. But he's not going to laugh his ass off next month. When we get that motherfucking disclosure, will you, Florian? I can't wait for you to eat it. You're going to eat it in front of me, Florian. I'm going to watch you.
Can't wait to watch you cry in German.
Yep. However they do it. Yeah. I think that's just a resting face over there.
All right. Next question. Help. What most married people simply joke about is actually happening to me. Oh my gosh. This is what I call a hook.
That's really good.
I don't know what's coming next. Okay. Hi, Nikki. What's up, Iceman? Compliments first. Love the show. I really relate to you guys. Being 31 myself, I've seen the world in a lot of the same ways as you two have. Hearing the advice you give to others, as well as educating everyone of your listeners on shit we don't know, is awesome and inspiring. Shit They Don't Tell You is one of the only podcasts I can continuously listen to and enjoy every episode. Oh my God, we love you so much. Thank you so much.
31, you're still a pee-pee.
You're pee-pee.
You're little pee-pee. Oh, the pee-pee. Born what, 91?
Wait, I don't want to do this joke because that means that I'm much older than 31 or something.
Well, that was the joke.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you for the compliments. Also, before I get to my issue, Steve, some of my favorite episodes have been when you do a deep dive into the careers of such actors as Nicolas Cage and Adam Sandler. I'd love to hear more. Maybe Mike Myers?
You got it. I got a Brendan Fraser one coming your way. I got a Mike Myers one coming your way. I got you. I 100% got you. I'm maybe going to do John Malkovich. We'll see.
Teasers, everybody. Not to leave you out, Nikki, I really appreciate your knowledge on finances and productivity as well as your sense of humor and just being a good person. You really helped me grow as a person myself. Aw.
But we've all heard enough of that, haven't we? I hear you.
Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that paragraph. To my issue, sorry if this email is long. I've been debating on whether or not to write this because it's kind of embarrassing and I don't know if talking about it will solve anything. There's a cliche joke about sex stopping once you get married. Turns out to be totally true for me. My wife and I have been married for almost 8 years and as of now, we have not had sex in over a year. Oh my God. 8 years? Okay, so over a year, that was the 7-year itch mark.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. This is not the first time there has been a long drought. When we first got together, I feel like we had a healthy sex life. Since we've been married, there's been a steady decline. A few months in, my wife expressed that she wasn't interested in any oral sex, on me mainly. Oh, on you. Oh.
Oh, fuck.
And our sex became very basic and unadventurous. It was the same routine just about every time until it just stopped for a while. Neither of us really had any libido. Part of this had to do with life changes. We moved cities and changed jobs, to which neither worked out. We moved again and life got a lot better. My libido returned, but hers didn't seem to. We decided to have kids, which made having sex happen more often and was interesting again. That quickly went away once she got pregnant with our first child and didn't return until we decided to have another child. Since having our daughter, we've had sex twice. Our daughter will be 3 years old in June.
Oh, my lordy lords. Not to make...
This
I'm sorry.
Is juicy.
Not to, wow, that's crazy.
What do I do? She has recently been to the doctor, the OBGYN, and spoke with him about it, but he didn't have much to say, and she hasn't seemed motivated to keep looking for any other kind of help. I feel like I beg sometimes, which is super unattractive even to me. She says it's not me at all, which I believe, but I can't help feeling that I must be missing something. Any advice would be so appreciated. Love you guys. Once again, sorry for the long email.
Okay. Real advice?
I think that's what...
Tell her that... Your doctor says that you have a medical condition with your dick and you need to have sex more. What do you think of that shit? How's that?
So lying. So the first tactic you want him to try is lying.
Maybe not. Okay. No, what I would actually do, because there's just, it sounds like a chemistry problem that we're having here, perhaps. Because if she won't give him oral sex and that's something that he desires... At the gate.
Yeah.
Like out the gate. I think that they have like a chemistry imbalance.
Totally.
Perhaps, and they need to communicate to get that on the same page.
There's a blockage.
Yes.
Especially if you were having healthy sex before, like a healthy sex life before.
Mm-hmm.
And then now there's not. And I get the stress factor thing. And also like I've heard, and I can't speak from experience, because I haven't had kids yet, but I have heard
there's a lot
from other mothers, mm-hmm. That like you're, especially for toddlers, like the first 3 years, the first 5 years, but like the first 3 years, definitely any toddler under three, your life is like consumed by them.
It ruins,
where like ruins it. It completely, like we can't, I don't know if I can or not, because again, I'm not experienced, but the mothers that I've talked to can't compartmentalize it because they're just so exhausted from putting their identity into being a mom and their and a child that it's really hard for them to like switch gears to be sexual object now for my husband's desire.
Yes.
You know, and I really hope that doesn't happen, but
we'll communicate about it.
Yeah, we'll communicate about it, but I've heard from quite a few newish mothers, especially with two kids. I've heard two kids is like two kids is so much harder than one kid.
Yeah.
Like you're like, if you had a little bit of time with one kid, you have zero time with two kids.
Hey, my buddy Foreign got three kids.
I think he has four.
I think he has four kids.
Three or four.
I know he's got three kids.
Okay. At least three.
And you know,
they're all like building robots and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I also have had a similar issue in a previous relationship, and I don't think it's the same as yours because that like my libido died within like the first like year and a half with him, but I stayed in the relationship for 5 years. So by the time like I went to a therapist about it, like it was dead. But I will tell you the things she told me to try to get the chemistry stimulated again.
Oh, cool.
Was role playing for sure. There's actually a site you can go to. I think it's like something Mojo, like What's My Mojo or something like that. But basically both of you can take the test. You mark off like what things turn you on and what things like you're open to, like you're adventurous about in the bedroom. And then it only shares the answers with each other that you guys matched on.
That's cool. That's no pressure.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So there's no pressure if you put something crazy down and she didn't mark it or whatever. That might get something going. But then you have to assume that she's also open and willing to get something going.
Well, it sounds like there's some kind of like understanding there that she's like, well, it's not you, so if it's,
yeah, but I said that too,
but no, I know, hold on, but she's not giving up is what it sounds like.
Yeah,
like, it sounds like there's some kind of a communication channel.
I have to have hope for you, like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know her though, so the thing is like the only evidence I saw of that is like she asked the OBGYN. But that could be an excuse.
Yeah, that's true.
Even like true. I asked my doctor, nothing's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm just trying to offer some suggestions that like a therapist gave me, because I went in there just crying, bawling, because I wanted the relationship to work out. But sex was like the only thing I could not get going. Mm-hmm. Like we could have conversations, we could hang out, but I couldn't get myself to want to have sex with him. Like made me want to throw up. Like I got I forget what it's called, but like the ew, like the yuckies, like where you just don't like, just the thought of anything intimate with him made me sick.
On Love Island, they call it the ick.
Yeah. That's yes. Accurate.
So, that's what the kids say.
To use a Love Island term. But if it's not, if she doesn't have that, like you could try some of these things. Role playing was the first thing suggested. Something to spice up the bedroom a little bit, trying different outfits, going on to different dates, like more intimacy, more romance. I don't know what her love language is either, but you know, different things are stimulating to different people. Like there's also a test that we took, I can't remember, on Big Mood. You can go watch it, Chief Competitor. But
please edit that.
I forget what the test was called, but you mark off like what stimulates you the most, and they give you options like, okay, you come home from work and this turns you on the most. A, your husband's like, I clean the whole house for you. Why don't you go upstairs and take a shower and meet me in the bedroom?
Nikki move.
Yeah. Or like,
if I come home, Nikki's in like a sick ass outfit, done.
Or you come home and your husband is like, attacks you at the door because you're so fucking sexy and like he just ravages you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think it was the love language one, but so depending on what her stimulators are, because every person's different, you don't want to like do the ravaging one if that's not her. But maybe cleaning the house is her, or maybe like having the mood set. Like some people just don't get turned on if the environment's not clean, and or if they're not clean.
That's big.
Yeah.
Cleanliness is big too.
Yeah. Or if there's still stuff to do. So like they have stress in their mind.
Hey, my man too. Another thing, and I don't know if this is about you per se, but I find if you want your chick to keep blowing you, if you are the cleanest motherfucker ever, where they never even have to dread it, like you're giving yourself the best hope of them wanting to stay doing that.
Yeah.
If you're not like, you know, it's not rough.
That's true. You have the cleanest dick I've ever laid my mouth upon.
By design. And yeah, it's because, and even at times where like, you know, there's a moment maybe where we're, it's like out of nowhere, looks like we're going to fuck. I'll still go wash myself a little bit only because I know that every time that we do this, if I'm clean for you, mm-hmm, it all stacks up over the years and you're not going to ever dread it, even in the slightest
sense. It's never associated with something
exactly
unpleasant.
Yes. And yeah, because I'm psychologically priming you and training you, that's why I've done that.
I see.
Yeah.
You're training me.
Yes.
I see.
Psychologically
you're
training.
You're grooming me.
I am.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
To be the perfect little wifey wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you doing it right now?
I'm not. I'm letting the game go.
All right. Well, I hope that helps. I'm sorry that's happening to you. I mean,
open up though. The only answer to this problem is opening up about it.
Yeah.
And not passing each other like two ships in the night and not talking about it. Open the fuck up about it. Say what you want. Say everything that you want. All the little fantasies, all those things. Like maybe start with that website Nikki said, but like, you know, get a little wine in you and see what you guys, where you guys can go, like as far as opening up about this whole thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's stimulating conversation too.
That's for me and Nikki for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, but I also don't want to tell him to do something that's going to put pressure, because sometimes like too much pressure turns me the other
way, so it's touchy. Bring
it up lightly, kind of playfully, like, hey, like we could try this thing. I don't know if it works, but you know, some people have had success.
Like, hey, look, I got this plastic mouth through the mail. You want to try using it on me? You don't have to use yours. See?
No.
Get a little lube on that.
All right. Well, good luck out there. I'm sorry about
that. Good luck. We appreciate you listening to the show, and please check in with us, but only if it's a positive and happy
story.
We don't
want our day ruined. Check in with us.
If it's a happy story, please check in with us.
Negative. All right, next.
Just kidding.
Teen parents are now adults and are hanging on by a thread. You guys are good at your headlines today.
Getting way good at thumbnails now.
Hi, Nikki and Steve. I love pretty much every single platform of yours, and I feel like you guys are parents I never had sometimes with all of your insight and shit they don't tell you. Anyways, if I somehow make the show, please keep me anonymous. This will be a long one. Oh my God, we love you. Thank you. Okay. I met my boyfriend when I was 15. We met before then, but only briefly, and he was 18. I know that sounds bad, but I've always only dated guys his age, seniors when I was a freshman or older, and my entire friend group was his age. I moved out at age 14 due to my parents' divorce. My mom left and my dad was abusive, so I had no guidance and was couch hopping until my mom offered to stay with her 3 hours from where I grew up in the middle of nowhere just for her to kick me out. I was working at Subway and the local inn, as well as going to school. I was in a really dark place when I started talking to my boyfriend. I had a quote unquote plan and all that, just very emo teenager with no support. So naturally, I leaned on him. After talking a few months, he drove all the way to come get me and took me back to his place. We stayed as roommates and then obviously started dating. We lived together from the day we met in person until today, with two short breaks in between. After 9 months, I was 16 years old and I found out we were pregnant. I was actually headed into foster care for refusing to go back to my mom's when I found out, and agreed to stay at my dad's to stay out of the system and also stay with my boyfriend, who was the only support I ever knew.
Holy shit.
Dang. The moment I wasn't sick with morning sickness, I was working 60-hour weeks at a company I'm still working for and doing my GED as soon as I got off work. My boyfriend worked just as much, and we got our first real apartment and family vehicle just in time for our daughter to be born. After all of that, I found out he'd been cheating on me the entire duration of our relationship with his ex-girlfriend.
No.
Wow. It obviously destroyed me. I don't even remember the first half of my daughter's infant years because of the amount of stress that I was going under. He was still 19, and every time we would fight, he would go out and bang some chick, and I was left home with the baby 24/7. No breaks. He was a good dad, paid the bills, but emotionally just horrible towards me. When our daughter was 9 months old, we split for 6 months, and we got back together, and he's been 100% loyal and honestly a changed man ever since. When our daughter was 4, we tried and got pregnant with our son. I was 21 and my boyfriend was 24 when he was born. He did so much this time around. I've had a lot of much needed breaks and me time, and he's a great dad and has started to pick up on housework so that I can kind of find myself again. So that leads into now. I'm 23 and began dabbling in sugaring, being a sugar baby. Wow.
What?
Okay.
This took a turn.
Obviously, with my boyfriend's feelings in mind, he was okay with it and was even excited to help take pictures of me and was very supportive at first. For the last 7 or so months since I've started, he started to accuse me of cheating almost weekly. I instantly stopped sugaring because it only started to happen since I started doing that, and I've assured him I would never cheat because it's just not who I am. He started to make up entire scenarios of random males on my Facebook just when they like a few of my posts that have nothing to do with sexual content. Like I'm talking timelines of as of when and where and all when I've not even spoken to these guys, and if I have, it was only friendly and in passing. It honestly just pushed me away because the same cycle, him giving me silent treatment, him finally telling me what's wrong by blowing up a completely made up situation, him apologizing, it's honestly made me wonder if my path is aligning with his in a weird way, or if my path is aligning with his anymore in a weird way. It's made me despise things he does more than ever because I feel like so attacked and I never get closure on any one of these stupid fights. I also know that sometimes people accuse their partners of cheating when they're cheating, and I didn't think he did, but it's obviously not off the table because it's happened in secret before. Also, a coworker of his commented on his Facebook posts of us cheater, and then he hid the message from her to him, saying, "Then why did you show your dick to me at my apartment?" But he plays it off as she's crazy and weird.
What the fuck? Oh, how many warning signs you need, girl?
I'm getting to, we're 23 and 26 now, together going on 8 years, and I wonder if I've wasted my young years not finding who I am and what I want out of a relationship, and if I've just settled because of my childhood traumas,
or if
this is really the love of my life I'll grow old with, because I do want that as well. I just wish I had a clear answer. If you read all this, thank you. You are a boss. I love you guys again.
We did. First of all, that was very interesting.
That was very long, but very interesting.
Very interesting.
Worth it.
Very worth it. Sugaring, huh? That was a hell of a turn. Would never have bet even money on that.
I thought it was about waxing. Do you know, you can use sugar to wax your body hair?
I had no clue.
Yeah.
That took a turn as well. Thank you for that. Wow.
But they call it sugaring.
Well, no kidding. Well,
that's what I thought you were doing. And I was like, oh, that's good. He was supportive because why wouldn't he be?
Don't be a boomer, please.
But the thing that gets me is, I feel like I wasted my younger years. I'm 23 now.
You're fine.
All old and wrinkly.
You're fine.
23, you're just getting started,
girl. That we're like your grandparents.
Yeah.
But please.
My woman, okay? You're a fetus. You are just getting your adult life started. Get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
You're done. Just break it off. You will.
If you don't now, you will later.
You will thank me later because this is.
He's the start of your life.
Look,
there's no trust because he doesn't trust you because he doesn't trust him because he knows he's shitty. That's all.
Yeah, and plus, you were 15 when you met. You were a baby, a literal baby. Your brain has 10 more years to develop when you're 15. You haven't even reached full development now at 23. So you still are going to go through changes. And if you get to full development and you look back and you had stayed with this guy, oh my God, you're going to regret that because this was your first love, but this ain't it.
Let him go be a good dad his own fucking time, okay?
And I realize he's the baby daddy. Treat him with respect. I'm not saying disrespect him.
No.
But call a spade a spade.
And don't shit on him to your kid and be like, well, your dad couldn't do that and all this shit. That fucks with their confidence.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about, it's time to cut bait on this guy.
Yes.
No, he shouldn't be treating you like that. There should be trust in a relationship. You have none.
Yeah, you have none.
So you have nowhere to go.
And I absolutely think he's projecting these entire scenarios.
If you don't do it now, you'll do it later. I guarantee it.
And if he's not projecting, maybe he's not cheating, then he is building in his mind that you are doing the things that he did to you.
He's guilty.
He might try to get revenge on you, even though you're not even doing that. He's got paranoia.
He's guilty.
Trust issues.
He's a guilty motherfucker.
I don't care if the coworker is right or wrong about commenting cheater. I don't think he's the one. I don't think he's the one for you. I think you could do better. I think you've evolved past the person you were when you met him. And you're just, you're still in love with the idea of him, but not
and
him.
And he's your kid's dad and all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. You're always going to have that attachment. And I mean, that's never going to change. So this guy is not out of your life, but I don't think that it's a healthy relationship. And I can say that with, I, I think, complete confidence.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you haven't even hit your prime yet. Don't even, you didn't waste your younger years. You were a child, a literal child.
It's funny too, because we're not experts by any measure, but I feel like this one's like,
some things are just so
blindfolded, like hookshot.
Yeah, and only because you asked for a clear path. By the way, we are not experts at anything. No. I forgot to give the disclaimer.
Just crypto, only crypto.
But if you come to us asking for an opinion, we are going to give it to you from the best of our knowledge. Damn. And this is something that's harder to see from the inside, and I can get that. But from the outside, it's so crystal clear.
Yeah, and your mind will be blown listening to this again, even like 5 years from now.
Listen in 5 years.
Yeah, I promise you.
Whether you stayed with him or not, we were right.
And you'll thank us so much harder then.
If you left.
So please do that. Thank you.
Or you'll have regrets.
Mark, let's warm up that breakup button, dude. Let's hit it.
Breakup! Oh, it's been a while since we heard that.
I love that button.
And on that, can you warm up the time for a break button, too?
There isn't one. We don't have that.
Break
we don't
up.
Have that kind
break
of technology.
Break up the show with the two pieces.
We don't have that kind of
break up to... We're on a break. We're on
doing?
A break.
What are you doing? You're fucking us.
At least someone's getting fucked, you know?
We'll be right back.
Not that first guy. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. I hope you missed us. Did you miss us? Say it back.
Say it back.
Say it back.
Thank you.
Okay. This is actually a recap, or not a recap,
A
follow-up.
Okay.
A follow-up, love yes. It. Okay, so a question that we had answered in a previous episode. So, Chicago Girl Who Catfished You is the title. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Again, hopefully. I was so happy that you guys read my email. I was listening to your podcast on a walk and was bummed out that you started Crypto Corner. Not because I don't want to listen to Steve. I love when he talks about crypto. But because I had catfished you guys and was scared you wouldn't address my question now. Y'all made my day when I heard my question being answered. Anyways, I took a lot of your advice, especially with working out, where instead of feeling bad about how often and how long I used to do it, I now just try to be active for 20 minutes a day. Great. That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yes.
I also did really well in school, but don't admit it that often because imposter syndrome. Well, there you go. That's
sense.
Just a work in progress. My follow-up question, in case you want to skip. Okay. My boyfriend and I have been together for around 10 months. I genuinely love him and I love being around him. I have so much fun when we're together. He genuinely listens to me. And if we ever have an issue, I've only needed to bring it up once because after we address it, I have never had the same issue again. However, I have found myself when alone thinking that stuff might not work out and questioning if this is my forever. I'm only 20 and my prior relationship was sexually, emotionally, and mentally abusive. Mm-hmm. I dated a narcissist with a fucked up family and only 3 months after post-breakup, I started to talk to my current boyfriend. I know there's definitely unresolved issues which I'm working on currently. I just want to know whether this is my gut telling me I'm not in the right relationship, my anxiety trying to magnify small worries, or me projecting stuff from my past relationship onto this one. I ask this because my boyfriend is the most caring person I have ever met, but at times I get mad that he loves me so much because I'm used to being the one who loves more. I'm used to being
boy.
The one that loves him. Okay.
Break up with this guy. This guy's an asshole.
I also find myself excited when I get to see him, which isn't often because of COVID, but when we meet through FaceTime, I get mad at him. Please, please don't tell me to break up unless you guys really think I need to,
it's
because
over.
I genuinely enjoy his company and
we're
our
sorry.
Talks, but I'm not sure what isn't clicking because this was not an issue until a month ago.
Listen, we are in charge of your life and you have to break up with him. It's up to us. It's not up to you.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. If you don't break up when we say to break up,
then
you are cursed. You are cursed.
That's right. You're cursed with you're gonna everything that you try to buy will increase by
5%. You'll never love again.
Oh shit. That's not the curse I was going for.
Oh. What was yours?
Everything that you try to buy will increase by 5% when you get it to checkout.
Oh, I was like, oh, but I want my stocks to increase.
No. Everything that
gotcha. Yeah,
that's rough.
Okay. Side note, what's love and what's being in love? If my love is different than what media throws at me, is it still love? podcast idea, only if you're comfortable, don't want to intrude. I'd love to hear more about arguments you and Steve have had. I know you guys had a hard first year and some fights, but were there times where you doubted that this was your forever, and was that because of an argument or just your own doubt? Thank you. I wrote this as if we're friends now because you read one email of mine, but I fucking love you guys so much.
We feel like we're friends.
I'm listening to Big Mood and I'm acting like I'm friends with everyone. Like I'd fucking cut that bitch for Gina anyway. Lots of love, a Chicago girl.
Thank you, Chicago girl. We appreciate it.
Yes. Okay, that was a lot, but let's get to it.
Yeah, one by one.
This guy, Mark, you can hold off on the breakup button for now.
Wait, why?
For now.
Okay.
Well, for now.
All right. I just don't like that he loves her so much. I don't know. It's creepy.
Right. Like, who loves a person who this much?
Who
loves
someone who has this many, they see their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I get this much love? Doesn't make no sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
See?
Wait, how does it say how long that they've been together? 10 months. Who loves someone that much after 10 months? It's, jeez. No, like, they should wait a little bit longer to love.
A little sus. Maybe he's the guy from that show, You.
Oh.
And, you know, he's stalking her.
He's
working
like
an angle.
Obsessed. Yeah. He's obsessed.
He's clearly obsessed.
Okay, so Steve and I, this sounds actually kind of similar, like in different elements ring a bell. Like, we've always been the one to love the partner more.
Yes.
In our previous relationships.
No question.
So it did really throw me off that I was like, wait, is this guy like serious that he loves me this much? Because like, I've never had it returned to me.
Same.
Reciprocated equally. Like, and it's always like, at first it seems like they're reciprocating, and then like within a couple months it like drops off because it was just the initial period of
the
time.
Warming period.
But this guy just kept going.
Well, same to you. And that was what was so weird, is because we always expected the second part.
Yeah.
Like, I always expected
the other shoe to drop.
The other shoe to drop.
Right.
Because it always had before.
Yeah.
And I was just like, here we go.
So yeah, every argument did, I think both of us did project our old relationships onto each other. Because,
and that's what you're doing. You're projecting your fear within your last relationship onto your new one. It has nothing to do with your new one. But your fear has still survived.
Your body is really good at subconsciously keeping pattern recognition without you noticing. So if you were in a mentally, emotionally, physically abusive relationship, maybe in your head, logically, when you're looking at your new partner, you're not like, well, you're like, oh, obviously that's not my old partner. But your body remembers subconsciously pattern recognition. So you might be getting triggered by something your new partner's doing that maybe your old partner did to manipulate you.
Yep.
But your new partner is not doing to manipulate you. Yep. And it brings it up and you don't even know why you just got mad.
And you're on the defense.
Yeah.
Because you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Because
you had to be in the old relationship.
That's how you survived.
And you, yeah, exactly. And you don't want to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So your brain is trying to protect you. Like, yo, we're not doing this again.
Yep. It's time to give this guy.
Oh, we got smart.
It's time to give this guy the clean slate that he deserves.
Yes.
And to recognize when you're doing this. And it will really help you, especially if you talk it out. Like, if you say out loud, like, oh, you know what I think is going on right now? I'm not mad at you. I'm mad that in my previous relationship, like, there was enough mistrust created where I have a fear of, you know, what's going on right now because I'm worried that I'll be repeating the same pattern.
Yeah. And I think it's also you not being able to see each other in person that much, because that helps so much. Like, relationships are like over time, you're building, each experience you have with each other is building on the previous one. So whether it's a bad time or a good time, you're continuing to build. So especially in that first period of like the first couple of years you're together, you are only gauging the strength of your relationship based off of all your cumulative experiences. So if you didn't have that many together because you don't get to see each other, then you might build trust on one experience and then you forget. You're like, I don't know. Like, it's been so, you know, it's been so long. It didn't get pounded into you. Like, it didn't get pounded into you yet. I mean, physically too.
You know what I'm saying? I saw that. That was sick. Hey, don't use your ring finger. Thank you.
Thank you.
That fuck perfect thing will stab you.
No.
All right.
This is some quality. It's smooth.
That's what I mean. It's good quality. That's why.
Okay. So I feel like you trust him when you're together, and then like you forget about the trust because your old relationship is still in there seeping in, right? So then you see him on FaceTime and you're mad because you haven't gotten to see him. You have needs.
Yeah.
You have needs and they're not maybe being met.
Yeah.
Because not because of his fault, but
the limitations
because,
that exist in the real world.
Exactly. So I would
cut the cat a break, will ya?
Give him a clean slate.
Gosh.
Let's separate what he's actually doing and what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Maybe see a therapist. Like it's been helping me a lot because there were some traumatizing events that happened over the past decade that I didn't realize I hadn't dealt with. And so, you know, recently things have been triggering me, but I know logically they shouldn't, but I can't help it. My body is like, has a panic attack and starts shaking because of like something stupid that I know I shouldn't be triggered by, but I just am. And so I'm actually working with a therapist on that. And maybe I'm not saying that you have that to that degree, but maybe like there are some things that you thought you dealt with that you didn't.
That you're holding on to.
Deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly.
So that may help.
I think it's very clear that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the resources to do that,
yeah,
that would be great.
There are some programs like Talkspace, not sponsored, but on this podcast, but
yeah,
BetterHelp, like things like that, where you can get some, you know, alternative methods of getting it. But a lot of healthcare, of health insurance now covers mental health, which is awesome.
Yep. Very awesome.
So if you do have access, definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah. Most of our brand deals now are on Crypto Corner, where we have a lot of different VPNs.
I see.
Yeah. A lot of different VPNs.
Got it. So patreon.com/sticky. STIKKI.
Yeah.
What is love and what's being in love? If my love is different than what the media throws at me, is it still love? I think that puts too much pressure on you to like have a one definition decide what love is. No. Love, I think it's ineffable. You know it when you're there?
Ineffable.
And also, I think it evolves over time. It deepens over time. Like the first time.
The more
time,
you get to know somebody, yeah.
Well, and also like the first time I was in love, I knew for sure it was love. And maybe it was. I mean, it was to some degree, but it wasn't as deep as the love that I have with Steve. But I didn't know that it even existed yet.
Same.
So at that time, I was like, wow, it was mind blowing to me.
So that's why at the same time, like what you're saying, because I had the same feelings too.
Yeah.
I feel like I was never in love before you, but then I also know that I thought that I was.
Yeah.
So that's, but because I had this deeper, richer experience, I'm like, there's nothing that compares. So
yeah. And I think, so it's not fair. It's like, I think you were in love. You just didn't, you had a different definition back then because you didn't even know another one existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not with the bitches though. I was in love with those bitches.
Okay. I believe you, honey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I was definitely in love, deeply, madly, graciously, truly.
We're gonna
truly,
cut that.
Truly,
Mark,
truly
cut that. Mad. Thank you.
Yeah.
My man always has my back. I fucking love this guy.
But also, yeah, I think that love evolves over time. I definitely love Steve more than when we first met, and I thought that I could never love anyone
same
that hard. I know this is getting into mush territory, but it's true. I think every other relationship, I don't know if it was because of them or just because of the way we dealt with issues. I don't know, but I definitely did not feel a deeper love connection over time.
I remember our first date, and I got to put my hands around that fucking ass for the first time, and I was like, God damn. I was like, I will be in this for a long time.
You're like, this is love.
Time.
This is yep. love.
I was like, this is what I'm motherfucking talking about.
Well, Steve almost broke up with me because he, like a year later, because he was projecting a lot of stuff from his old relationship. So
yeah,
it happens.
It happens.
It happens to the best of us.
But once I saw that ass walk in to the bathroom, away from me telling her that I dumped her, I was like, good. And once again, and I got rugged up.
Stupid.
Just when I thought I was out, I got pulled back in.
Mm-hmm. That is a good podcast idea, though, of our previous arguments.
That is good.
We should do it.
How about that? We'll do that one for you. Hey, our buddy Joe Shepard asked for a screenwriting one, and we did that. So
yeah,
we'll do this one.
He's
too.
He's also a patron.
Exactly.
So
there you go.
All right. This one is titled I got engaged and have a monster-in-law. Help.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't relate.
I can't either. I'm so lucky. I have the best
mother-in-law. Yeah.
I have the best in-laws.
But yeah, I know that's a problem. I mean, there's movies written about this, so.
I wish I was, it'd be great though if I was lying right now.
I know.
Right? And I'm like, I secretly hate them. But we're so lucky. It's been great.
I know. We really are. And that we came from families that are very family-oriented.
Yes.
Like we both have that and same babe. Value in common.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Iceman and Icebreaker. My name is Nisha. Feel free to use my name. Oh, bold.
Very nice.
The first non-anonymous. We well, like that. I mean, besides Florian. Yeah. First off, compliments. Love you guys to death. I always love listening to your insightful commentary and everything. And you guys are relationship goals. I love to think of you guys as my friends before I even had friends. Oh my God.
Oh, we love you. So thank sweet. You.
I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you about in-laws. My boyfriend and I have been together forever, 6 years, and we are crazy in love, are always laughing, and he's my best friend. That's so awesome.
Awesome.
Love that.
See, it happens.
See, people, it's not just don't one. Settle.
Yeah.
We know we want to get married, and I see myself spending the rest of my life with him. Update, we got engaged. There's just one small problem, his family. Most of them are okay with me, but he definitely comes from a family that has dysfunction. Specifically, his mother is toxic and has an incredibly negative influence on him. She's controlling of him and doesn't like that he has grown up and made a life for himself or thinks for himself. Wow. She has taken money from him, insulted him, and depended on him to an amount that is unhealthy. His words, not mine. Unfortunately, she equates him distancing himself from her as my fault. She blames me for him growing up and leaving and views me as the demon on his shoulder, coaching him away from his family. I've tried my hardest to get her to like me, but she is always cold and disinterested in me. If it was anybody else in the world, it would not be worth it. But I'm straight up in love with this man, and I want to spend the rest of my life with him. So I'm going to deal with it. I guess what I'm asking is, did it take you guys a while to get the love and trust of your respective in-laws? Was there clashing? Do you guys think this could go away with time? Love you guys always, and thanks for everything. Love your number one fan, Nisha.
We love you, Nisha.
Oh, we love you, Nisha.
So first of all, I think I always have this thing with people, right, where I'm not necessarily always the most likable person, I guess, when I walk into a room. I can be a 500-pound gorilla sometimes, and I know that about myself.
That's not true.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, I understand that. I don't expect, here's the thing. When I walk into a room, I don't expect everyone to like me immediately just from walking into a room.
Okay.
That's all I mean.
Well, that's common.
And I understand myself enough to know why people might not like me initially.
I see.
If they just met me.
I see.
I have a very punchable face. I
would kiss it.
I can be very loud, right? I'm opinionated. You know what I mean? I can see why people could just judge me and go like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah.
But even no matter what room I walk into, all I want from anybody, even if you like me or you don't, is just your respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And so when it comes to family stuff, I think it's so important that even if they don't like you, they have to respect you. This is my number one thing about families that are dysfunctional or whatever, like moms with their sons and they're like, you're not good enough and all this bullshit. You have to respect me anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and you can demand that respect with just a frank conversation. And it, believe it or not, I think it will make them respect you a little bit more.
Yeah. Talking it out with them.
Yeah.
Trying to, I mean, it does sound like the mom just, it won't talk to her.
Yeah.
But you can try.
But if you want to have, I mean, what do you got to lose compared to how
exactly.
It is now? It sounds like it's pretty awful.
Can't do anything worse.
Yeah. Just and have a little intervention.
And talk to your spouse to be first. Yeah. Like, just like, hey, I'm thinking about bringing this up, is that mm-hmm. okay? Like, how should I word it? What are you comfortable with? Like, make sure that your partner's comfortable too, because ultimately they'll have to deal with the mom more than you.
But that's the other thing too, is like your partner should have your back as well.
Definitely.
I'm not but saying
if
that
you
he's just not.
If you didn't warn me, like, let's say one of my parents had a problem with you, like, this hasn't happened, so I can't really speak from experience. But if you just like went off on my dad, like I don't know what I would do. Like, that's kind of crazy. So, but if you had that conversation with me beforehand, like, and we talked about like what you were going to say, then it's not a surprise to me. And to me, that is having your partner's back. That's me. That's you going like, hey, I want to support you the best way possible. Is this cool? I really need this, you know, just open that communication.
Yeah.
I think that
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But the frank conversation, I think if you have nothing to lose with this person, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And just let your person know that you want to do this. Maybe they can even facilitate this.
That's exactly.
And that's what you would hope for, right? But yeah, and really, and in this conversation, this is what I want to help you with the most, right? It's just about like, hey, look, I understand that maybe you feel a certain way about your son, but what I want you to know about me is I love your son. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like just same teaming it a little bit and being like, we are wearing the same jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's got your son's name on the back and we fucking think this guy's the greatest. You know what I mean? And what can I do to just have an easier time with you while we both love this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that there's an argument to be made against that. You know,
right.
That's what I mean. Once you can break through the bullshit and whatever her she supposes about you and whatever she
like
thinks
we're both
about
on
you,
the same team.
Yeah.
How do we become more of a family?
Exactly. And I don't think anyone could argue with that question.
Yeah.
And maybe she could be like, what are you talking about? Of course everything's great, but obviously things are not great. So opening the conversation up, I think, is the first thing that has to happen. Because she's not being very frank with you. She's yeah. just hating on you no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, like we said before, we kind of did a spoiler, but like, yeah, our in-laws both, we got along immediately. So that's hard. I get it. But I also think I did a pretty good job setting Steve up because I picked such terrible partners beforehand and my parents hated them.
Yeah.
When Steve came TVH. Along, they were like, oh, thank God. Like, thank yeah. God.
No, me and your old man hit it off.
You were the only boyfriend my dad has ever talked to. Not
That's
just
wild.
like you guys go out to Costco together.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't even talk to my previous boyfriends.
I love that guy.
Like we would be in the same room. My exes would try to start up a conversation like, hey, man, like, what's going on? Like, how are you? How's work been or whatever? My dad would literally not even look at them and just be like, yeah, man, good. Like,
by the way, it's funny that because I have seen your dad do that to people.
Yeah.
That he does not like clearly.
Yeah. He does not hide it.
He doesn't hide it at all. And so that's very funny to me because I've had a much different experience with the
mm-hmm.
cat. The cat is like, he's the man.
Yeah.
And what makes it easy too with your dad is I look up to the guy. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah, I think it's that you both like mutual respect
yeah.
and you showed respect right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I think my exes were just either too nervous or insecure or whatnot, but they didn't like give a good first impression at all.
Yeah, that's rough.
They didn't like look him in the eye, shake his hand.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. One of the ones when I was a 5-year relationship with, the first impression was like he honked outside my door and I came out. He didn't even come in and my dad got really mad about that. And then you can't make up for that. That's your first impression.
Yep.
Can't make up for it.
My dad used to do that to pick me up from my girlfriend's house when I was like 16 years old. He used to piss me the fuck off.
Well, that's different because it's the dad doing it.
Doesn't matter.
But if the boyfriend's doing it.
No, but it pisses me off because it's disrespectful to the folks too. I don't know.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah. I think my dad did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I mean,
it's because they just kind of work
and they don't,
fuck this.
Yeah. And they don't want to get attached to like a family they don't have to get attached to.
That's true. You don't think of it like that ever.
Yeah. Like my dumb kid's in love, thinks he's in love.
That's very true. Like we'll never see these people again.
Yeah.
And they're right. They're right about that. Yeah.
But
yeah, no. Hey, I hope please let us know how this goes. I wish you the best. This applies to anything in your life, folks. Like I'm not just talking about like we're talking about friendships, like
business,
anything where people are not giving you respect. You don't have to like me, but you do have to respect me. That is my mantra. Like I really believe in that
mm-hmm.
because.
But respect can't be demanded either. It has to be earned. So, and I think that the only thing you can do to earn it is to just hit things on the head, like be assertive, communicate issues, just always be straightforward like that. So there's no sort of like backstabbing, scheming or whatever. Like they start to build trust with you because you are always so straightforward and you can use that. Like, hey, I've always been really straightforward with you.
Yes.
You know? And if they still have a problem with you, that's on them, you know? But at least you are doing everything in your power to be respectful.
Exactly. And that's the thing too. You have to set the standard for respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a base level of respect that I pay everybody, no matter who they are when I meet them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly.
And that's all I need back. Mm-hmm. It's just that base level of respect. And then we're chill. Even if you don't like me.
Exactly. There's so many people that I don't necessarily like, but I still respect them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. On that note, I think that's our last question for the episode. I hope that helped you guys out there. We had some longer questions today, so, but I felt like they were helpful and they were interesting. They were like really juicy.
Really juicy. Really juicy. Well, good writing this week, guys. Really proud of you guys.
Yeah.
On that.
Good roast, Florian.
Very nice roast, Florian. I appreciate that very much. I promise you I won't be thinking about it for the next 30 hours. And I won't be plotting my way to get revenge on you.
Revenge.
And find your fucking Lucky Charms before you do.
Such a German stereotype.
You know what they did?
Yeah.
Know,
the all those Germans with their Lucky Charms.
Find me Lucky Charms.
Oh, nailed it.
See? If you have any, if you guys, by the way, you don't have to just submit questions to podcast@nikki.lemo. You can have impression requests. We will do them.
We can do a lot of impressions.
Happy to do it.
Between the two of us.
Happy to do it.
We kill it. We crush it.
We can't wait.
We haven't even been able to display our skills.
Nikki can do a great impression. She's never admitted this, but she can do the Hawaiian punch guy. Go.
Hey!
So good. I don't know how she does it, dude. It's so fucking good.
I just try not to.
You have to watch the show.
Try not to brag.
Look,
about
if you're listening to that, maybe it doesn't sound like it, but you have to see the show to see. It's
kind of spot on.
Fucking on. And she's been nailing this thing since we got together. Nikki,
kind of a party trick.
Dude, just have her. Just dude, anytime you're anywhere, and you should pull up this clip at a party. Be like, dude, this chick does the Hawaiian punch.
You should do it without a visual and see if they can guess.
Oh yeah, they'll nail it.
Yeah,
they'll nail it.
Yeah. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for writing in. If you have a question, podcast@nikki.lemo. We check them like every 5 months, you know? Just kidding. These are actually pretty recent. So
very recent.
Yay. And that's it.
Okay.
So we're done.
We'll see you guys next time. We love you. Hey, share the show with a friend. Helps a lot.
Do it.
We appreciate all of you guys. And if you rate us 5 stars on Google, that helps more than
you
even know.
Suck your
What?
I
at least make it a Patreon standard.
See you next time. Bye.